Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth broadcast coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries here in Altoona, Pennsylvania. We're delighted you've taken the time to join us. I am Brother Fonbeller, speaker on the broadcast, and we're going to be talking about the birth of Christ. And we'll look at Luke 2 and Matthew chapter 2 as we put together a basic chronology of the birth of Christ and what it means to us. And I trust it'll be a real blessing to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Then we're going to have a good special song and then right to the Word of God. So your Bible's open to both Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2, where we'll begin our studies. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege it's ours to study the Word of God. How grateful we are that you've given to us the Word of God. Not only that it would bring us to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and how wonderful that is, but then how we can live for you, how we can please the God of eternity, with whom we will be for all eternity. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'll take the Word of God, and maybe there's somebody listening that's not saved. May this be the hour of their salvation. I pray for Christians. This may be a time of rejoicing and really seeing the meaning of Christmas afresh and anew. Thank you for this privilege of ours to study the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Precious rendition of Silent Night. You know, I never get tired of hearing Christmas songs, and then many times the varied ways in which they are presented, those that bring honor and glory to our Lord, and what a refreshing that is. Now, I want you to look with me just a couple of little things that I just thought about bringing out, maybe help us to understand a few things. You know, I mentioned that the birth of Christ was in Bethlehem. Of course, that was a prophecy, Micah 5:2, that Christ, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. And when we go over to Matthew 2, you'll find the scribes and Pharisees knew exactly where he should be born. And we'll also make mention then that they never even made an effort to go there because they knew the prophecy, but they were not interested, I believe, in seeing him come. They were content. They were satisfied with what they had or where they were. But I was thinking of something after I brought the message. I know I made a little bit of a reference to this, but when the shepherds heard the voice of the angels and saw the sight that they saw, I got thinking about something. You know, there they were out in the field, out in a wide open area, and surely you would think that somebody else might have seen what they had seen. There's no evidence of that. And number two, there's no evidence that anybody else came to that stable with regard to that. And I got thinking about, that is just one of the things that God has done. And though I'll not take the time to go to all of the passages and bring out anything further than just make a few comments, when Christ was transfigured, well, let's go back to when he was baptized. You remember there was John said that he would see the Spirit of God descending upon Christ. Well, he saw it in, as it were, a bodily shape like a dove. Well, the same thing happened in Acts chapter 2. But the point is that obviously nobody else around there saw that. There's no other comments about that. There was a voice that came out of heaven, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Nobody else heard that. When the transfiguration took place, Christ and then Moses and Elijah, they glowed in front of the apostles, and God echoes from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And yet nobody else saw that or heard that. Even go back to Moses when he was in the mount and getting the Ten Commandments. God spoke to Moses, and even in fact, when he was going up into the mount, God spoke to him. The people heard the thundering, the noise, he saw the lightning, but they did not distinguish what was said. When Saul of Tarsus, who became later the Apostle Paul, was smitten there on the road to Damascus, the people were with him, saw the bright light, not as he had seen it. They heard the voice. They saw something. They didn't know what it was. They heard something. They heard the voice, but they didn't hear the voice distinguished. They heard, they heard some kind of rumble, maybe thunder. Maybe it was the same as they had back in Moses' day. The point I'm bringing out is this. God has a way to draw his own people to a given situation. He will not lead you exactly like he will lead me. He'll lead us to be consistent with the Word of God. But he may decide to call you to do this or that. And I remember years ago when I first was in the pastorate, it seemed like, and it was this way. If I did a ministry, then I would expect you to do your ministry, what I was doing. You know, if we had buses, we all had buses. If we did this, if we had a school, we'd all have a school. There were just all kind of things like that that just seemed to be, if I have it, you need to have it. Well, God leads us in different ways to do different things. But always he leads us to glorify him. Now, whether or not anybody saw, heard, or anything else about this, we don't have any indication of that. The point that I want you to understand is God wanted those shepherds there at the manger. And when God wanted those shepherds to be there at the manger, he did what was needed to do. He was needed to do to bring them to that place. And God works that way. He brings things to pass that way. Now go back to Matthew chapter 2. And I want you to see, again, we're just going to look at this very quickly because we did talk about it. But when the wise men come in, and they were from the east, so they could have been from Babylon. They could have been further east. I don't know. But they have made mention in verse 2, we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And as I mentioned, it, in all probability, is a reference to Numbers 24:17, how did they learn that? Well, in all probability, again, if it was Babylon area, it was that which was handed down from the day of Daniel, 700 years before that. I don't know. We do not know. But let me go back there to Numbers chapter 24 and look at verse number 17. And here's what it says. He says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, destroy all the children of Sheth. Now, very simply, a star out of Jacob. And then these wise men say, we've seen his star in the east, and he is called the bright and morning star. So we know it's about Christ. But here is a very real possibility then that they followed the word of God. Now, were they believers? Well, I do not know to say wholeheartedly, yes, they were, but they believed or they followed what teaching they had of the scriptures. They followed the word of God. If this is a verse of scripture, and this seems to be the clear one, because it says it was a star out of Jacob, which would have been Israel, the nation of Israel. So there's a star rising there, and we're come to worship him. So they were taught something. I believe they were believers. They came to see this one that was born. Now, they saw his star in the east. There is no indication that that star stayed bright the whole time when they left. And I want you to follow here to show you it probably was 2 years after the birth of Christ till they got there. Now, notice, and when Herod heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Now, it's kind of obvious that he would be. Here's the king, and all of a sudden somebody says, where is he that is to be born king of the Jews? Wait a minute. The Jews are under my domain, Herod would say, and I'm the king. There ain't nobody else coming on the throne. I don't have a son in the palace. That's the one that would take the throne. So no, who is this guy? Where is he at? We've got to do something about it. And seek and destroy. Almost sounds like the politicians today. But notice, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, this has always fascinated me. And it should be this way, that the scribes and the Pharisees, the priests, that the scribes and the priests should have known where Christ was to be born. They should have known those scriptures. So they did. And they said, thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That's in verse 6. So they had the exact quote. That was Micah 5:2. They could say that. They knew the prophecies of the Messiah. That was very evident. They knew they didn't only know the Pentateuch, which is the foundation of everything else, but they also knew the prophecies of the Messiah. They knew the Messianic Psalms. They could quote those. They were scholars in that sense. They were students of the Word of God. The unfortunate thing is you can be a scholar in an area and not believe it, not take it to heart. And so when Herod called, when he had called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now get that. When did that star appear? Now he's got a question with a deceitful and a trickery of an answer. How are we going to know that? Well, we'll see that in just a little bit. Now, he wanted to know, when did you see this star? So they tell him. I mean, I don't know if they just, I got an idea they told him anyway, because if you see what he does just later on, Herod seeks to destroy all children from 2 years and under. And And so anyhow, Herod inquires, and then he sent the wise men to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the child, for the young child. Now notice that, for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. A hot chance of that. He had his own devious plan. When they heard the king, they departed. Now, here's why I say the star was not in front of them the whole time. Notice what it says. When they departed, lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced and had exceeding great joy. I believe that they followed. They knew the direction. Now the star was not in front of them. They were going by faith. They were believing that God had given them this indication, and they were going to pursue that. And knowing that this was a star rising out of Jacob, the best place to go is Jerusalem, where the king is, and find out, did the king have a son, the next heir to the throne, whatever the case. So they come, and by faith, they come and they present their desire before the king. And as a consequence, you know, they come out from the king. Now God gives them the star again to lead them where he wants them. You know, it's interesting to me how God circumvents man, natural man, to get his point across to his own people. Now, notice these wise men come out from there. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. That's where we get the three wise men. Definitely there were more than three. That was a company. That was a big company because you would not have hazarded coming from the east to Israel over the Badlands, so to speak. You wouldn't have hazarded that with not an escort. And so it may have been three that walked into the house. But if you notice, they went into the house. So they're no longer in the stable. But you see, it's called a young child, not the babe. As the shepherds are told, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. But not to these men. They come into the house. They see the young child. They see Jesus crawling around on the floor. They see Jesus as he does the things that little two-year-old children do. And so they're watching where they see him walk and so forth. And they see him, this is the child. But they know it's the one that they've been promised, the one that they had searched for some 2 years to follow. Let me ask you a question. How long would you serve the Lord if you didn't see the fruit of what he has asked you to do today? You think of missionaries that have gone out especially in the early years of missions, and they would serve for many, many years, never seeing one convert. And then maybe they died, maybe only having just a handful of people who had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the next missionaries coming into that field started to see the bumper crop of folk coming to Jesus Christ. But you see, the foundation had been laid. The message had been laid out. It had been given, and it was faithfully executed. You see, you are not, and I am not, responsible for people getting saved. I'm responsible, and so are you, to give out the word of God so that people will understand that they are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, as Paul said, of whom I am chief. That Jesus Christ died on that cross, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God through him. That without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, and neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, beloved, that's a message that we need to give out. And yet there are many times that you can give that message out and you look and you see and there's just basically no fruit. But you're not understanding that God can do his work. These men traveled for 2 years. They didn't give up the task. They didn't quit. They kept going. I think of one of our missionaries over in Africa, in one of the countries that we serve. In fact, it was in Ghana. I was talking to him, and I said, you know, you guys are really spreading yourself thin, starting all these churches and that. And he said, Brother Fonmon, he said, we've got to. We have got to go out. There are many of my people who are not saved, and we need to start churches everywhere we can, even if we have to meet in lean-tos. And you know that's exactly what they've done. They've gone out into areas and they've carried the gospel to those people. And they're seeing the results of that. And they're seeing people come to know Christ. They're seeing people whose hearts have been touched by the Word of God. And you know, beloved, that is exactly what we're to do right here. We need to be going out and sharing with people the wonderful Word of God, realizing that not everybody will believe necessarily. Many of them might. It's not our job to make them believe because we can't. But it's our job to be consistent in our lives and consistent in our message and share with them the good word of God. I just think of the tenacity of these wise men. They would not quit. They would not stop their journey. They hadn't seen the star. They were going by faith. But when they came out of the palace, God showed them the star. Question, did anybody else see it? Did anybody else see it? Or did they just see another light in the heavens and not of much value or much, didn't mean anything? I don't know. I don't know. We can't prove either way. But very simply, these men saw that star in the east. They saw the star there in Jerusalem, and they go out and they find there in Bethlehem, as they were told, and they find the child there with his mother Mary in a house. You know, beloved, I was going to ask this question. Why were they still in Nazareth when they could have been? Why were they in Bethlehem when they could have been in Nazareth? That's where they came from. Well, we're not told that either. And, there's just some things that God just does not see fit to say to us, because in the narrative he's giving us and letting us know what has taken place, it is not important. But God has a plan and a purpose. And we're going to look at a couple of those things as we journey down through here. But we need to see what has taken place. Here we have these wise men coming, and I'm using that right now because of the fact of the shepherds seeing that sight, and yet probably nobody else saw it. But, you know, if you're going to take this in a chronology, you have to go and look again at Luke chapter 2. And I want you to go back there with me, please. We're just bouncing back and forth here, but this is the count. This is what we have been told, that how it happened. Now, I want you to think about the character of Mary and Joseph. First of all, we saw their character when God selected them to be the parents of the Lord Jesus Christ, the child that was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost. Now we come to the place where the shepherds have seen it. And again, like I say, we don't know how long they were in the stable. May have the next day been able to get a house. Certainly folk would be leaving once they filled out their census and all that kind of thing. So there'd be places available to stay. So we don't know. We don't know where they went, and that's not important. But I want you to see something, the dedication of Joseph and Mary. In verse 21 of chapter 2, we find that when the 8 days, we could go to like Genesis 17:12 or Leviticus 12:2 and see that on the 8th day, the child was to be circumcised. That was following that Levitical law. That was the law that Israel was given. And so it says that that when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, and then at that circumcising, they named the child. His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, his name shall be called Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. And that's what God had told Mary. If you look in verse 31 of chapter 1 of Luke, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus, the Greek rendering of Joshua of the Old Testament of Hebrew rendering, and it means Savior, Deliverer. And so his name is called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now that would be 36 days. 36 days her purification would be, and you'll find that in Leviticus 12, 2 and 3. And they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, if they could afford a lamb and that, they would have done that. But this is what the average people would do. They'd bring a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So they're following God's direction, even though they're there in Nazareth. At this point, they would not have been able to take him back to Nazareth. Too young. You see, Joseph and Mary, no matter where they are at, they were faithful to the Lord in Nazareth. But here they are in Bethlehem, and they continue to be faithful to the Lord. You know, the child of God who really loves the Lord will be consistent for the Lord no matter where they find themselves, no matter what the struggle or no matter what the blessing. They'll find themselves consistent according to the Word of God and to, consistent as would please the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll be a witness for it. What's your life like, my friend? One, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's what Christmas is all about. If you do, are you living a consistent life each day? I pray that you are. We might be of spiritual help to you. Would you contact us at Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602 USA. And we'll get back to you and give you that spiritual help that you request. Father, would you take the Word of God, seal to our heart these thoughts regarding the birth of Christ, that we might be consistent, faithful in all that we do, even as Joseph and Mary and these others that we've talked about. In Jesus' name, amen. And we would say, Merry Christmas. God bless you.